Well, good morning, church family. I am almost kind of sad because we're wrapping up this series today. Man, I got bad news for you. We're to the passage, you know, where Jesus says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So are y'all up for this sermon? All right. I love that. We're going to dive in. All right, so go ahead and open your Bible to Revelation chapter 3. And as you kind of get your mind wrapped around where we're going, let me just kind of start and get us to the text with this question. Have you ever bought a cheap knockoff of something? You ever bought one? Raise your hand. Nobody? Yeah. Maybe a Prada purse for $40, a Rolex watch for $40. Yeah, anyone? No? None of y'all? Okay. All right, I get it. You know, if you've ever bought a cheap knockoff, if you ever decide to do it, the label, it's going to have the right label, but it's not going to have the right quality, right? I mean, the quality's not going to be there if you buy a knockoff. I mean, pretty soon the strap's going to break or the stitching's going to come undone, the face is going to fall off the watch, because as it turns out, it's not actually the genuine article. I've got to tell you, Kim and I were in New York, I'm sure it was 5-10 years ago, I don't know when, but we'd always heard of a part of town where you could go and buy some cheap knockoffs. We couldn't wait to get to that part of town. We went to that part of town, and it wasn't exactly what I was expecting. Number one, the cheap knockoffs didn't seem so cheap to me. Maybe that makes me cheap, I don't know. And then everything else, you know, is just like everything's on the hush-hush and the down low. And it's kind of like they're looking for the police or something. And they're whispering, come in, come in. They lead you down a dark alley into a dark room. And I'm like, I'm getting out of here. I couldn't wait to get out of the place. I mean, we got out of there. And I could see the headlines. Texas pastor arrested with counterfeit contraband, or I don't know what was going on. I mean, I was just like, baby, we got to go. Let's go, you know? But here's the thing. It's not just with fashion, accessories, and designer labels that we find cheap knockoffs. As we turn to this text, Jesus says it actually happens among those who claim to be followers of Jesus, but instead of actually following Jesus, upon closer inspection of their life, what you see is not the life of one actually following. What you see is the life of a cheap knockoff. The label is there, but the quality is not. And Jesus really does reserve his harshest criticism for those who wear Jesus like a designer label, but don't follow him. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, we're going to start reading, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. And we're honoring God, and we're saying, God, these are your words. We are standing at attention. We are listening. And then I'm going to get you to join me. Just listen to the first, and then I'm going to get you to join me about verse 20. But it's a longer passage, so let me just kind of plow through it. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. But realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. And will you join me as we read the rest of the text? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. God bless you. go ahead and grab a seat if you would. Listen, as I read this text, meditate on this text, prayed on this text, here's what I heard Jesus saying. Here's what I want you. I want you to walk away with more than one thing, but here is one thing I want you to walk away with. Jesus is the king you follow, not a designer label you wear. Jesus delivers this message to the believers that's really important in this text, to the church at Laodicea, the believers in Laodicea, the town, the city, and thus we then could kind of extrapolate, okay, probably many of the believers in the church were fairly prosperous. I mean, the city was a commercial center located at the crossroads of two trade routes. In addition to that, I mean, Laodicea was a banking center. It was a finance center. So kind of think Wall Street if you want to, but a banking center in the first century. Not only that, it was also a fashion center in the first century. White wool was common in the first century. Black wool was not common, and they were able to grow, produce black wool there in Laodicea. And so it became a fashion center because black wool was a luxury item. It was rare, and so I've heard maybe that's where Gucci got its start. I'm not sure. That may be bad information. That was a joke, please. Whoever is back, I love that. There's my best friend in the world. So is a designer, a fashion center, but it was also, get this, a medical center. I mean, seriously, I mean, think now kind of cancer center, Houston. It was a place where people would go, but not for cancer treatment. It was more for ophthalmology, easy for you to say. And so they produced an eye salve there, literally, that people from all over the known world would come there to receive treatment on their eyes. It was a medical center. So it's into this context that Jesus spoke these words. And the first thing that I see Jesus declaring as we begin to dive into this text is Jesus says to them that he is the king. He is rightfully your king. He is rightfully my king. Forget for a second the whole bit about following him, not just wearing him as a designer label. Let's just focus on the fact that Jesus is declaring unequivocally that he is the king. He is the genuine article. He is not a cheap knockoff God. Where do we get that? He says, I am the Amen. This is a label, a title that he gave to himself. Amen. The word means truth, certainty. It means something that is fixed and certain. It's like we use amen today. Let's say that you just go crazy this morning, and at some point in the sermon, you say amen to something. What are you saying? You're saying, that's true. So be it. I believe that. That is fixed. That is so. I am in 100% agreement with that. Well, that word amen, that's what it means. It means that in Jesus Christ, all of God's promises to us were fixed and made certain. In other words, when Jesus was crucified, when he was buried, when he rose again, conquering sin, death, Satan, and hell, God said, eternal life, amen. So be it. It has been provided. Grace, God's unearned favor bestowed upon humans. Amen. In Jesus. So be it. It is completed. It is fixed. It is accomplished. Jesus said, I am the king. I need to understand. He is not a cheap knockoff God. He said, I am the, not just I am faithful and true, I am the faithful and true. It is a title that he is giving to himself. And what he is saying is, here you can trust me. I am the king. And everything I've said to you is faithful and true. It is truth without any mixture of error. He is saying, everything that I've told you faithfully leads you to the Father in heaven, and it never leads you wrong. I am not a navigation app that's only 50% correct. Any of y'all ever use nav apps? Would you use your navigation app? Be honest now. And I want a yes or a no. Would you use it if you knew going in that it was only 50% accurate? Half the time it'd lead you where you want to go. Half the time it'd lead you someplace else entirely. Would you follow that app? I'll tell you, it happens. I was asked to do a wedding. This is like 5 years ago up in just east of Sherman. I'd never really heard of the town, much less the church, and I didn't care. I mean, I had the name of the church, I had the address, I plugged it into my navigation app, and I took off, and about an hour and a half later, I arrive. You think I'm joking. This is absolutely a true story. I arrive at a locked gate, and I'm looking at a pasture with about three cows scattered out in the pasture, and my navigation app says, if I'll just keep going another 25 yards, I will arrive at a church that was absolutely invisible and non-existent. And I made some phone calls. Thankfully, I was only about 15 minutes away. And believe it or not, I still made it in time to perform the wedding ceremony. But here's what Jesus is saying. I am the faithful and true. But the map that you get from the world is about 25% accurate or less. See, the world will give you a map and say, here's how you plan your day. But amazingly, when the world starts telling you how to plan your day, there is no time for Jesus in that. The world will tell you, here's how you spend your finances. But amazingly, in the world's plan, there's not going to be any tithing or generosity towards God or other or giving toward the building of the kingdom of God. And on I could go. The world will tell you how to react to betrayal, how to find purpose and meaning. But every time, I'm telling you, the world's navigation app leads you to a place and leaves you in a place facing a locked gate in a place you don't want to be, saying, how did I end up here? This is not where I intended to end up. This is not where I intended to go. See, the world's navigation app leaves you in a place where you end up divorced, where you end up addicted, where you end up depressed, discouraged, beaten. And Jesus says, I am the faithful and true. It's not just faithful and true. I am a title. I am the one who is faithful and true. Everything I'm telling you faithfully leads you to the Father and leads you to the place that you deeply long to be. I'm going to lead you to joy and peace and hope and eternal life. And notice what else he says. And we're just talking about right now. Jesus is the King. He's not a cheap knockoff. He is the genuine article. He's the King of Kings. He says, I am the beginning of God's creation. It doesn't mean that Jesus is the first thing that God created when God started creating. No. It's saying that Jesus is the source of creation. We know that because we're taught by Paul in Colossians, for by him, all things were, what does it say? What? Created. In heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And Jesus is saying to them and to us today, guys, when God said in the beginning, God created, you need to understand, I am the King. I am the God who did the creating. All things are created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. He's the source of creation. And what he's saying is, you've got to understand, I'm the King. I created you for a relationship with me. And if you miss out on the relationship with me part, I created you to follow me. If you miss out on the following part and you just settle for wearing me like a fashion accessory, you're missing out on the very reason that I created you for in the first place. He's saying, I am the beginning of God's creation. Jesus is the King you follow, not a designer label you wear. So now let's shift gears. Are you tracking with me? He says, first of all, I am the King. And now let's look at the fact that Jesus in this letter to the believers in Laodicea is saying, I'm the King you follow. I'm not just a designer label that you wear. Look how he says it. I know your, what does that word say? I know your what? Works. Isn't it interesting that he doesn't say, I know your words? See, as it turns out, your words describe what we say we believe. Your works reveal what you actually believe. And that's why Jesus said in another place, you will know them by their fruit. Now you got to get this. You got to get your mind around this. I hope and pray you don't ever get this confused. We are saved by grace apart from works that we do. We are saved by the work that Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of, say it with me, what? Works. We are not saved by works, we're saved by grace. But here's the thing you've got to understand. What Jesus is saying is you're saved by grace for good works. I know your works. He says, what I'm tracking in your life is not your words. I'm not as interested in your words. I'm not impressed by your words. He said, what I'm looking at are your works. I created you not to say something about me. I created you to follow me. I created you to follow me. I created you to follow me. Not to just say you're a Christian. Works reveal the presence of faith. Works reveal the authenticity of your faith. Let me try to illustrate it in kind of a silly way. If you put on a team's jersey, that doesn't mean that you're actually a member of the team. You get that, right? I mean, tomorrow night when the Cowboys play, let's say you go out and you buy a Cowboys jersey. I'm not going to go out and buy one because I've got one hanging in my closet. Has Aikman written on the back of it. I mean, I may just get that baby out and put it on for the game. But I'm smart enough to know when I put on that jersey that it doesn't mean that I'm actually Troy Aikman. It doesn't actually mean that I'm a member of the Dallas Cowboys football team. It sure doesn't mean that on Monday night I'm going to take the field and I'm going to get to throw a pass or catch a pass or make a tackle. No, it means that I'm a fan, not a member of the team. And Jesus is saying here, guys, just because you wear me like a fashion accessory doesn't mean that you're actually following me. It just means that you're a fan, not a follower. You want to know if you're a fan or a follower? He said, look not at your words, but look at your works. Do you see when you look in the fruits of the Spirit? Do you see when you look out the works of righteousness? You see, your works reveal your faith. But he said, I'm looking at your works, and here's what I see. You're neither cold nor hot. Now, you get, little history is really, really important here. This is describing the water situation in Laodicea. You got to understand this. Laodicea, very prosperous town. You remember? They're a banking center. They're a medical center. They're a fashion center. And overall, on a trade route, they're just a commerce center. But one thing they didn't have is a reliable water source, at least in the summertime, because they got their water from the river Lycus, and it would dry up in the summertime. And it's a prospering city, and nobody wants to move from that site. And so guess what? They had to figure out another water source. So what they did is they built a couple of aqueducts. And the first one they built to Hierapolis. Hierapolis has these, to this day, by the way, these hot springs. Tourists went there in the first century. By the way, it's in modern day Turkey, and tourists still go there today. And it's these hot springs that was very, very heavy in minerals. If you've ever been to Pagosa Springs, Colorado, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You can sit on those hot springs, and it's so comforting, and it is so smelly. I mean, it smells just like sulfur. Any of y'all ever been there? Okay, and you're sitting there going, oh, I can't take this anymore. It's too hot and it stinks too much. But man, it's an awesome place, and I'd encourage you to go visit it. But anyway, so guess what? They built an aqueduct, and it was about 4 or 5 miles away. And so this water that you could go to Hierapolis and you could sit in and take a bath in, and it had these medicinal qualities, at least it was reported to. By the time it traveled 4 or 5 miles all the way down to Laodicea, guess what? That water was no longer hot enough to take a bath in. It was just lukewarm. And it stunk. If you drank it, you wanted to spit it out because it was that bad. But they also built another aqueduct, this time to a town called Colossae. Colossae, you remember the letter to the Colossians? was a town about 11 miles away. And they got their water from Mount Kavnis. Mount Kavnis was snow-capped. And in the summertime, modern-day Turkey, it's really hot. And guess what happens on the top of the mountain in the summertime? It melts, and there's more water than Colossae could use. And so Laodicea built, because they were very wealthy, an aqueduct, the 11 miles, and they started hauling or pumping or carrying the water down to Laodicea. But guess what? In that hot Turkish sun, modern day Turkey, guess what happens to that clear, cool, refreshing mountain water? It turns lukewarm. And what Jesus is saying, just like your water supply, guys, is not hot enough to take a bath in. It's not refreshing enough to drink. That's the way I view those who wear me like a designer label but don't follow me. Or as Paul put it in another place, those who have the appearance of godliness but deny its power. See, Jesus really does expect, please hear this. Jesus really does expect you to have a relationship with him and to follow him so that he begins to transform you and me into the image of his son, so that he begins to produce in us the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, patience, joy, kindness, love. And so that through us, he produces works of righteousness. You go, what are works of righteousness, Gary? Well, here's a work of righteousness. Love God. You begin to love God more. Here's a work. Love others. You begin to love others more. How do I love others? I don't know. If they don't know Jesus, you make a disciple. You share the gospel with them. That's a work of righteousness. What do you do when they come to know Jesus? Well, you baptize them. You go, I can't dunk anyone. That's okay. You can invite them, and you can help people get connected to the bride of Christ. And once they get connected, guess what a work of righteousness is? You begin to teach them how to follow Jesus in every area of their life. Do you realize that's God's plan for you and for me? And he says, that's what it looks like to actually follow me and not just wear me like a designer label. See, Jesus is the king you follow, not a designer label that you wear. And so he says, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now we get to kind of a scary part of the text, right? The word means to vomit, and no, I do not believe it means to lose one's salvation. Scripture is very consistent. Once you're born, you can't become unborn. Once you're birthed, you can't be unbirthed. Once you're a new creation in Jesus Christ, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Once you're a new creation, you can't once again become an old creation. And so what does he mean when he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth? What he's saying is, whenever somebody just wears Jesus like a designer fashion accessory, instead of actually following Jesus, it makes him sick to his stomach. Not in the sense of, oh, you disgust me, I hate your guts. He says, it makes me sick to my stomach because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what you're doing is you're robbing yourself of the very life that I created you to live. I created you so you could be transformed. I created you so I could produce my Spirit in you. I created you so that I could do works of righteousness through your life. And you're robbing yourself of that. And it makes me sick to my stomach to see the number that Satan is doing on your life. And so he says, Jesus is the king you follow, not a designer label you wear. So here's the question. You ready? How do we break free from a lukewarm faith? How do we break free from a designer label faith? How do we break free from a faith that just kind of wears Jesus like a fashion accessory? Well, he says, first of all, don't just settle for appearances. Don't wear Jesus like a designer label. Listen to the way he says it. You say, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Poor, remember? Very prosperous. They had a lot of the world's goods, but he said, you don't realize that you're living in spiritual poverty. You're missing out on the richness of the fruit within and the richness of works of righteousness without. He said, you look at your possessions and you think, man, I am so wealthy. I've got it. And he goes, and you don't realize in my eyes, you are dead broke. And he goes, and you're blind. Think about it. It's a medical center. It's a place where people from all over the world would come for an eye salve to help them see their world better. And he says, all you guys, you got 20/20 vision, but you are blind to my will for your life, my calling on your life. You think you see so well. And he says, in my eyes, you're blind. And then he says, you're naked. Remember, it's a fashion center. Black wool, designer, luxury. They literally made designer clothes there. And what he's saying is, you guys spend so much time shopping and finding the perfect outfit. By the way, golf is fine with God. It's shopping and trying to find the perfect outfit so that you make sure you look good on the outside. But he said, to me, you are naked because I look within and I don't see the fruit of the Spirit. I look without and I don't see works of righteousness. And so you're naked. And he said, the first step to breaking free from designer label faith is to be honest with yourself. Deal with this question. Are you settling for appearances? How do I know, Gary? Inside of you, do you see a growth in the fruits of the Spirit? Outside, do you see works of righteousness? Do you find yourself finding ways to love God more, to love others more? Are you striving to make disciples, to connect people to the bride of Christ, and to teach somebody else how to follow Jesus? Are you experiencing the "Lo, I'm with you always" presence of God in your life? And if you're going no, then Jesus says, you're settling for a designer label faith. How do we break free? Don't settle. Number two, follow Jesus as your king. Notice what he says, buy from me gold, white garments, and salve to anoint your eyes. Gold, it's talking about salvation. How do we follow Jesus as our king and not just wear him like a designer label? And the first step is to make sure Jesus is your king. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are now the Lord of my life. I make you the Lord of my life. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The first step to following Jesus as your king is to make certain that Jesus is your king. See, there really is a kingdom. There's the kingdom of heaven. There's a kingdom of this earth. God is really the God of the kingdom of heaven. Satan is the little g god of the kingdom of earth. You don't get to be the king of either one of them. I don't get to be the king of either one of them. Satan already has the job down here. God already has the job in the kingdom of heaven. And the question is, who's going to be your king? Jesus said, I want to be your king. And he came to this earth. He died in your place on a cross, my place on a cross. He rose again, conquering sin, death, Satan, and hell. And he says, if you want me to be your king, here's what you do. You repent of your sin and you place your faith, your trust in me. You declare me as your king. And then you follow me. First step to following Jesus as your king is to make certain that Jesus is your king. And then he said, buy from me not only gold, but what? White garments. White garments has to do with righteousness. And what he's saying is, here's what I want you to do. Once you make me your king, I want you to live holy before me. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Have any of y'all not sinned yet today? Raise your hand. Thank you for not. I didn't see any hands. Please don't let there be any hands. Because there'll never be a moment where you'll be able to look Jesus eyeball to eyeball and say, I'm as good as you, bud. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. And what Jesus said, if you want to follow me as your king, here's what you do. You purchase from me white garments. How do we purchase white garments? Righteousness, forgiveness from Jesus. I'll tell you how we do it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? It means we come to him and we bow before him and we say, Jesus, I am sorry. Jesus, will you forgive me? Jesus, will you just clothe me in your forgiveness and in your righteousness? It means that we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It means we hit the reset button with Jesus every single day. It means we get as serious about our sin as Jesus is. Now, he said, buy for me gold, white garments, and what? A salve to anoint your eyes. Remember, it's a medical center. They produce this eye salve. And this eye salve helped them to see 20/20. 2,000 years ago, can you imagine that's going on? And he says, here's the deal. You see the world around you, but you don't see my calling on your life. And here's what you do. If you want to follow me as your king, you come to me and you say to me, Jesus, will you just apply your salve to my eyes so that I can see not only my world, but I can see your will. Show me your calling on my life to love you, love others, make disciples, baptize, teach. Show me. Lord, apply your salve to my eyes. Now let me close with this. Close means I have two more points. That's why you don't see Richard making a beeline up here. I just wanted to give you hope. Let me close with this. Why? Why is it so important that we move today from if we are doing this, wearing Jesus like a designer label, to actually following Jesus as our King? Why? Number one reason why the wisest thing any one of us could do today would be to follow Jesus as our King and not just wear him as a designer label is because Jesus actually wants a relationship with us. You remember what he said? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Jesus wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a long-distance relationship. He doesn't want a Zoom relationship. He doesn't want, hey, let's just get together on holidays. What do you say? Maybe Christmas and Easter. That way we won't grow tired of each other. He said, no, I want a relationship with you. I want to be in your life, and I want you to be in me. I want to walk with you, and I want you to walk with me. Paul said, I read this like 2 weeks ago. I hadn't been able to get over it. I keep going back to it. I knew it was going to be coming to a sermon near you soon the minute I read it. Paul said to his young disciple Timothy on one occasion, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me. I read that and I'm like, what in the world does that mean? And then I started thinking about it. And then it dawned on me what Paul was saying. Timothy, God has poured out his grace on my life, his undeserved favor on my life to such an extent that I can't contain it all. And guess what? It has overflowed for me. It is flowing out of me. And the words as I sat there just meditating and praying are sloppy grace. And what Paul was saying to Timothy is, Timothy, when you walk with Jesus and you follow Jesus as your King, he pours his grace into you to such an extent that it just begins to spill over on everyone around you. It spills over into your marriage. It spills over onto your kids. It spills over onto your parents. It spills over onto your attitude towards your in-laws. That's meddling. And God doesn't mind that, and he doesn't mind golf. So let's keep going. He said, I want my grace to just be sloppy, spilling over everything. Why? Why should we follow Jesus as our King? Because Jesus wants to pour his grace out into your life. And second, because Jesus wants you to sit with him on his throne. Did you catch that? The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Can I just tell you something? Absolutely true. Absolutely true. You ready? I don't have a clue what that means. You go, why didn't you do your research then, Gary? I did, and I read the commentaries, and I came to a conclusion that the people writing the commentaries don't know really what that means either. And I love that. What Jesus is saying is, here's why you follow me as your king, because my desire for you right now is to pour my grace into your life to such an extent that it just begins to spill over. You can't contain it all. And my dreams for you in the future are so far beyond your ability to comprehend it or your ability to say it. See, that was all intentional. He said, you can't imagine it. What does it mean, sit with Jesus on his throne? I don't have a clue, and I can't wait to do it. How about you? See, I want so much for you to be able to say to Jesus, I am following you as my king, and your grace is overflowing on me. Will you follow Jesus this week? As Richard comes to close us out, would you make the commitment right now to follow Jesus as your king, not to wear him as a designer label? Lord Jesus, my prayer is that we would all determine in this moment, that we would all declare in this moment, that we would all declare right now, Jesus, this week, I will follow you as my king. For some, Lord Jesus, I believe that means that they're going to repent and confess you as the king of their life right now. They're going to say, Jesus, I trust you to be my king. I confess you as my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead, and I give you my life. I will follow you. For others, Lord, I believe it means that they're going to come back to you right now and just say, Jesus, I want to purchase from you white garments. I'm asking you to forgive me and cleanse me. Let me hit the reset button with you. I want to start fresh today. And Lord Jesus, I believe for others, to follow you as king means that they're going to say, Lord Jesus, use me as one who makes disciples of others. Lord, give me boldness to tell somebody about you this week. Lord, use me to teach somebody else how to follow you. Lord, give me an opportunity to disciple someone else. Lord, my prayer is that we will all declare in this moment, Jesus, this week, I will follow you as my king. I will not wear you as a designer label. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.